Hey, Shoujo fans! Welcome to episode 25 of Shoujo Sunday. This week, we'll be discussing episodes 11 and 12 of Blue Spring Ride. It's finale time! Let's dig in. Okay, guys, so where we left off. So after the group study session was over, Futaba went back to Ko's house to find out what happened between him and Makita. Futaba learns that Ko's mother passed away and sees that as the reason why Ko changed so drastically. She starts crying and Ko comforts her until Tanaka-sensei shows up to his house, and we learn that Ko has a job. And he proceeds to leave, which means Tanaka-sensei has to take Futaba home. He explains that he feels that maybe Ko resents him for not being more present when their mother was dying, and Futaba eventually does go home. She later goes to Makita to apologize for being pushy about what happened between her and Ko, to which Makita admits to being jealous of Futaba, and they confess that despite them both liking Ko, they actually love each other. And the episode ends with everyone surrounding Ko to get him to study more so that they can hang out together during summer break. Now let's get into episode 11, page 11. Here is our soft serve summary. We begin with a flashback of Ko learning about his mother's terminal lung cancer diagnosis. Ko tries his best to hide his feelings from his mother, but isn't doing it well. After he leaves, Ko's mom calls Tanaka-sensei to let him know that things aren't going well for her and that he needs to take care of Ko. We learn that Ko used to study a lot because his goal was to take care of his mom, and he didn't spend much time with her because of that. Meanwhile, his mom wanted to spend more quality time with him before they learned of her diagnosis. So he is still grieving lost time with his mom and has a negative association with studying because of that. Present day, the class rep gang meets in the library to study more. Ko pretends to go to the bathroom in order to bail on them, and Futaba gets mad and decides to go after him, but she ends up falling on another student and touches his dick by accident. So she runs away screaming as her friends go after her. Later on... Sorry. Okay. Later on, we see Futaba going to Ko's house, and Tanaka-sensei answers the door to say that Ko isn't there. And Futaba decides, through her conversation with Tanaka-sensei, to break into Ko's heart. So she finds him at the hangout place across town and tries to convince him that his mom wouldn't like the path that he's currently taking. Ko doesn't see the point in anything after his mom died and doesn't think that Futaba could possibly understand him. At that point, Futaba starts crying and hitting Ko, while Ko wants to get why everyone is trying so hard to be involved with his life. They end up falling down a hill together, and he then realizes that he wanted to receive permission to continue living again. The episode ends with Ko and Futaba crying and holding each other. All right. So, ooh, Gianna.
Nice job.
Thank you. Do you have a theme?
I kind of do. I've been so unconfident in my themes for this show, but what I have is grief is grueling and affects everyone differently.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, thank you.
I said persistence is key.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I think we just spoke to different parts of the episode, but it all comes together.
Yeah.
Do you have sprinkle on top?
I do. Interestingly enough, I have one thing for every segment this episode.
Ooh, okay.
So my sprinkle on top is that morale compares Ko to a cat. So I guess it's not Futaba who is Sock, but it's Ko.
Interesting.
Yeah. And maybe that white paw was the... Did I say this in an earlier episode that white paw is like the shred of like his old self that is still there and the darkness enshrouds him?
Yeah, you did. It makes sense because he doesn't take care of himself either.
No.
Because I think he said something along those lines, like, caring for somebody is more trouble.
Yeah, caring for things brings a lot of trouble.
Yeah, and I think that includes himself. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I just had another quote. I said, from Futaba, if you just open the door right beside you, there's a place in the light.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Futaba is so very poetic. Yeah, she's been very poetic in these final episodes.
Yeah, she's like Aie whenever she thinks of Sarasa.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God.
The poetry just comes out.
Let's not do that, though. I feel like Aie was a little bit more, like, a higher level of poetic.
Oh, yeah. Yes. No, Aie was sophistication.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so let's get into Floats Your Boat. So I think, to start off, I like the use of this flashback of Futaba running after Ko during Cops and Robbers, like being the reason that he's pulled out of his like dream where he's grieving his mom.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like the use of it. I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah. She's bringing in the light. She's running towards him to be positive.
Yeah, like here is a person concerned for him bringing love and care,
and he notices it,
like, even though he's losing that from his mother. Yeah,
right. And it's like he subconsciously gets that, and even it plays out in his head. So I like that part.
Mm-hmm.
I would say his group, I like the fact that, you know, his group of friends are trying to make sure that he studies.
Yeah, I actually kind of put that in Banana Split because I didn't know whether or not to put it in Floats Your Boat or Banana Split, just because of the way Ko is so like aloof and lax that it kind of looks like he doesn't care that they're doing so much for him. But at the same time, they're just a bunch of real ones.
Right, right. I feel like it being Floats Your Boat is just more on their part and less on his.
Yeah.
So them putting in that effort to do that, I thought that that was great.
Yeah, they like prepare study guides and Futaba goes all the way to his house to try and talk to him despite like him running away. You know, it's just nice.
Right, because it's like, I would tell you right now, I wouldn't do that.
Right. I'd be like, okay, guess you're busy.
Right. Because it's like, let me tell you something. If I went as far as to create a study guide for you and you pretend to go to the bathroom and you're just bailing, I'm going to be hot, as in mad.
Me too. Yeah, I'm going to be mad.
I'm gonna be
hottest as fudge. Yeah.
the hottest of fudge. Like that level of mad.
Yeah.
There would need to be groveling in order for shit to just be okay. But you know, I'm glad that they are so kind and understanding. I would say especially Morale and Kominato, because they don't know like what's going on. And
right.
They're still sort
they're
of
just
like
doing it blind.
Right, doing it blind. I would just say also her accident. Hilarious.
Yes, her little slip up.
And I love how in the anime, like when she basically touches his dick, right? Like, I'm assuming that's what she did. I don't.
Right. They heavily implied that.
It's heavily implied. They put self-reflection on it. And I was just like, you know what? Okay. But
yeah.
It was so funny because it's just like, she clearly didn't mean it. And like, she went and she fell on you and like that was an accident. Like who would want to just randomly touch a guy's dick? Like she doesn't know you from Adam. Do you even wash it? Like, come on.
Oh no. Oh no.
Okay. Like, okay, I'm getting too realistic, but still, like, you know. It was just so funny. So it was just like, okay, girl, like it's interesting. I feel like it's foreshadowing, although we don't get to see the foreshadow. It's probably like a manga thing. But I thought that that was funny.
Yeah.
Oh, and the fact that Makita and Futaba didn't tell Kominato and Morale that Ko's mom passed away.
Right. At least there was no dancing around something. It was just them genuinely keeping that private part of Ko's life to themselves.
And it sort of reminded me, although Tanaka-sensei blew it a little bit by talking about Ko when he was younger, but saying that in our last Shoujo Sunday episode when we talked about Tanaka-sensei telling Makita that Ko's midterms is private information. So I feel like it's similar in that regard, except that they didn't even allude to it to make Kominato and Morale curious to know, like, why.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I realize there is another thing I could put in Floats Your Boat and, like, take it, because we already talked about my Banana Split, and this was, like, part of the positive of that. I liked Futaba's conversation with Tanaka-sensei at the door when Ko wasn't home. She was saying, "He won't open the door to his heart, so I'll break my way in." And I think with everything that Ko had been through and the front he was putting up, I think that that's what he needs, essentially. And that's what the friend group is kind of trying to do already. So I liked her determination to reach him.
Right. And I think that Tanaka-sensei seemed partially motivated by hearing how passionate Futaba was. And yeah. He even compared her to being like a storm. I just think it was a really cute interaction because it seemed like she was trying to get advice from him. But it's like, this is the same brother that he's been running away from, like, this entire anime. So,
yeah.
Don't know how much he could really help in breaking into his heart. Because, like, he low-key has been trying, but it hasn't been working. But I'm glad that they were able to just have that moment between them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cute to see, like, once he went back inside, that he was, like, reminiscing over, like, family photos and his baby photos. And I was like, that's so cute and sad at the same time.
It is, yeah. So, I guess to say first, they had a much nicer moment in the grass in this episode than in episode 8.
Right.
It finally felt like Futaba was getting through to Ko with the things that she was saying. Grief is so difficult and manifests differently in everyone, and it looks mm-hmm. different day to day. And I think she really said something beautiful when she was like, "What you lost was so big, and you can't replace it, but we can help you keep going," essentially. She validated his loss and his pain and the space that was left in his life, but reassured him that he is loved, and while it's not a mother's love, they can be there for him in their own way.
Beautiful. Beautiful. See, you talk about me fleshing shit out. You've got that, like, on
every
point.
Now and then, I, like, really do a paragraph.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful. It's like, I thought it was very beautiful, like, what she said, that, you know, he could find other things. It won't entirely fill that void, but he can find other things like to do to like
yeah.
make him want to keep going. I think that just reminds me, I think my dad says this to me like when I'm like in the middle of depression or something, or I'm like super depressed about whatever. He'll just be like, when there's life, there's hope, right?
So yeah.
I feel like in this, it could be applied here for Ko and that.
I think so.
Yeah. You know, he doesn't have to just sort of be passing by through the world. Like, he can take part in it.
Yeah.
And I guess the last part of my Floats Your Boat, which is also connected to that scene, is the fact that Ko realized that he's been seeking permission to keep living this entire time.
Yeah.
Or maybe not seeking it. It's like he didn't realize that he wanted permission to keep living.
Right.
And so to get that from Futaba and everything, it's like he was able to, I guess, let go of that facade he was holding on to and able to cry. And so it's like she was crying, which that in and of itself, that's a slight ice cream you scream. Because why are you crying on somebody's face? I swear to God. Like, at least...
why are you crying on somebody's face?
Like, just get up, girl. Or at least move your head to the side so it gets on the grass. Or it gets on, like, his clothes. Like, not on his face. Like, it was literally on his, like, chin and stuff. And I'm telling you, I could not... I mean, I know he was realizing things, right? He was partially listening to her in his head at the same time. But... oh, like, I don't even like it when I cry. And you know, like, if you're crying too hard or something, and then, like, your tears start migrating from, like, the trails down your face, and then it's, like, getting yeah. near your ear and, like, all that shit. Like, I hate it when I'm crying.
It takes
and then
on
that,
a path of its own.
Right. It takes on a path of its own. I cannot imagine somebody else, like, crying on my face. Like, cry on my shoulder. that's terrible. like, just not my face. That's like, I don't know how to handle that. Or at least at that point, I would have been like, let me put my hand on your eyes. So it's like, not on my face. But still, I thought it was cute that he like started to hug her. One, because he was overcome by emotion. And then two, like within my subconscious, my as in Chika's subconscious, to get her to not cry on his face.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing that he did like scooping her into an embrace like that. Like he, not even from like the romance standpoint, just from a support standpoint, he needed that. And honestly, I wonder if she did too, just to know that she reached this person she cares about.
I do. I think she did need that in that moment.
Yeah.
Because she was trying so hard just to get through to him.
And here he was finally letting her in.
Yeah, but that's all I had for Floats Your Boat. Do you have more?
No, that's it for me.
Let's get into Banana Split.
We already talked about mine, so I'm good. I don't know if you have any.
I think mine is about Ko's feelings on being unable to start again.
Okay.
I was banana split about it because I understood where he was coming from a grief standpoint. Because it's just kind of like, it's grief can be so heavy that sometimes you're just sort of going through the motions. And I feel like that's what Ko was doing, basically. Going through the motions, but in doing so, it's not as if you're really present, right? So that's why he had like shitty grades. That's why wasn't trying to be around people. And so in that moment, I understood it because it's hard. Like, I think certain things happen to people and then you just don't know. Like, even though the world moves on, that doesn't mean that you move on too.
Yeah.
And so I got that, but I couldn't put that in Floats Your Boat. So I put in Banana Split.
Okay.
If anything, Banana Split, because if I had to say I understood it, so I guess Floats Your Boat because I understood it, but Ice Cream You Scream because of the way he went about things.
Yeah, no, that's entirely valid. Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that.
Do you have Rocky Road?
I do. I have a Rocky Road.
Okay, same.
Probably safe to say for both of us that it was Ko's very sad flashback.
Yeah.
Like, we're seeing a young boy experience something traumatic. Hearing his brother's voice on the answering machine and immediately thinking about the day they split for the divorce and him asking Ko to take care of mom was a lot. Like, he completely breaks down and sobs, and I was so sad for him in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, he even had a flashback within the flashback.
Right, it was flashbackception, and it was really sad all around.
Right, of Tanaka-sensei saying to take care of mom, and then here he's hearing from his brother, and it's just like, he's not only apologizing for not spending more time with his mom when she wanted to spend time with him, but also apologizing because she's going to die. And so he doesn't feel as if he took care of her because of that.
Right. Like, he put the burden on himself to notice the signs, and he didn't have to do that. It wasn't his responsibility. He was a kid.
Yeah. So it was just heartbreaking just to see just how shattered he was. And I feel like I've gone through that before as well, right? And like, the thing is, it's really hard to be grieving and then you're just on the phone, because then just like full out sobbing on the phone, like at one point you just feel like, oh, I gotta not hold things to my face. And then it's like you're trying to pull yourself together because the person on the phone obviously isn't near you, so it's not like they can do anything to help in that moment. They can talk to you, but in a sense, like, you feel bad because even if you're crying or whatever on the phone, you know that the person who's talking to you wants you to feel better so that they feel better about the fact that they aren't physically there.
Mm-hmm.
So even in that moment, I understood Ko not answering the phone at that point.
Yeah.
And holding onto his mom's shawl. Jesus. That was, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So, Hot Fudge.
Yes, I have two Hot Fudge points, actually.
Ooh, okay.
I have one lengthy rant to go on. Is that okay?
That's perfectly fine. We're, you know me.
It is prime time. Yeah. All right. So, in the flashback, Ko is studying, and his mother tells him that she's feeling lonely all the time because he's working so hard. And he says, "You'll feel better when I'm bringing in lots of money." And this is honestly, like, so sad to me. And I'm going to try not to get too meta about this, but I just kind of feel like somewhere along the way, humans lost sight of what life was supposed to be. Here's a boy who lost what he didn't know, what was vital time with his mother, because he spent so much time trying to become successful in, like, the capitalist world we have to navigate.
Mm.
Call me an idealist, But I just hate thinking about people suffering to make ends meet and not being able to spend time with loved ones or enjoy hobbies because work has to come first. I just don't think that's how life should be spent. Like, the one and only life a person has. It kind of made me think back to Whisper of the Heart, when Grandpa Nishi and his friends all joined in Seiji and Shizuku singing Country Roads, and all I could think was that this here is what life is all about, sharing these moments of joy with wonderful people. And Ko's mother's reply to her son was, "The time I spend eating and watching TV with you is more important," and I agree. Anyway, this scene got to me. It just made me very ranty.
No, I feel like I understood that. I think in part in reaction to what you would say. I don't mean to get on somebody that died, okay? But like, I feel like in that moment, instead of talking about how she wanted to spend quality time, she could say that, but I think what was more important for her was to say that, like, "You're my child. You don't need to worry about taking care of me at this point."
Yeah, I guess she could have, you know, taken real authority there because she had the power to do so.
I mean, studying is important, but he made it as his goal, like, "I have to be the man of the house," right? And I might be inferring a lot from this, but "I have to be the man of the house. Since my dad's not taking care of you, I have to take care of you. I need to get smart and be able to pay bills and stuff like that." And it's like, because of the fact that he's still her child, I don't feel like he needed to step up in that way. He doesn't have to be the man of the house. He can still be, like, her child. And I feel like if she just said that, then maybe he would have been like, thought on it more. Maybe he would have spent more time with her instead of just saying, like, "Oh, well, spent watching TV and having the quality time with you, that's important." And that is important to say. But I think that if she had just reestablished the fact that he is her child, he is still a kid, he should still have a life, right? Outside of studying, like, hobbies, friends.
Absolutely.
People, like, them going to this new place. Who knows if he had friends or people to talk to? Like, I just feel like if she had done that, maybe, who knows, because it was a brand new school, but maybe he would have had people around him to lean on when he found out that she had terminal cancer that were physically there.
Yeah.
Like a friend or something. But he didn't have that because he was so focused, like, "I'm going to study, I'm going to do better, I'm going to do all of this so I can take care of my mom." And then that's just gone, which just brings me back to, like, what I had said in our last Shoujo Sunday episode, is that I wish that she brought the dad into this. I'll never understand her allowing the doctor to tell him that she had terminal cancer and that she only had a few months to live, and she didn't make sure that somebody was physically, like, there. On top of that, even when he found that out, right, and he was, like, staying by her, she was just like, "Oh, well, you know what, like, you should go home." And at that point, he wanted to stay, right? He was like, "Oh, I can still be here." She's just like, "Oh, no, it's fine, like, you should go home." And he's like, "Okay, like, I have to prepare for your hospital stay." And I just would have gone about that different, because if you aren't going to at least call your ex-husband to have him physically be there for your child, then even if it's hard, at that point, that's a discussion. You should navigate his feelings of grief with him because you knew that you were dying and you knew he knew you were dying and he was trying to play it off. But you're the only one that's physically there. So those tears could have come out with her there, and she could have reassured him in that moment when he was, like, saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know, for not spending time." Like, what that would have done to his grieving process, to have been able to tell her how sorry he was for not spending more time with her, and her just being like, "I forgive you."
Yeah. There would have been some sense of closure, and that's such an important thing.
Yeah. And instead, it was just like she allowed him to, like, sort of posture and act like, "Oh, it's a hernia or something," and then tells his brother to be there for. And it's just like, why would you put that? I'm not to go over her own grief. I'm sure she had her own grief of, like, "Oh, I had this life to live. What if I wanted to do all these things and I can't do it?" But, you know, she's still a mom, And it's like, if I was a mom, I don't have plans on it, but if hypothetically, if I was a mom, I got cancer and I was not with the dad. If I didn't, because I would have called whoever my ex-husband was, but still, if no one else was there, I would be like, let's navigate these feelings together. If any, on top of that, like you said in our last episode, let's get a grief counselor.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It would have done wonders for this family, like through the hospice process and post her passing away.
Yeah. Just to preemptively get a grief counselor. It could work for everybody in the family. It could work for her because she knows she's leaving. It could work for her kids, you know, because she's telling Tanaka-sensei to go look out for Ko, as if Tanaka-sensei doesn't have his own feelings of grief.
Right.
I just feel like it could have gone, they could have gone about it differently. I don't mean, like I said, I don't mean to come for somebody who ended up passing away in this anime, but still.
Of course. Yeah. Just stuff to think about. So Ko reiterates to Futaba in this episode that a girl shouldn't go downtown alone. And hear me out. Instead of policing women's actions, maybe people should be taught not to assault women instead.
Right.
Why is it only that men are allowed to have the freedom of safety and to go wherever they please whenever, and women are just supposed to have curfews and chaperones?
Right. Like, does she need to be inherently afraid of the world? Like, no.
Right. No. It's so frustrating. That's like a societal thing.
Right. It wasn't as if it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. It was like literally people are still out and about. If somebody was going to try to assault Futaba, there are enough people that are out and about that she could scream and at least somebody would call the police. Hopefully.
Right. Hopefully.
Or someone might do something. Or then even if they don't do something, attention will be brought to her. And then whoever is trying to do whatever to her would run off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, on top of that, it's just like him telling her, oh, you shouldn't come over here or whatever. It's just like, maybe you shouldn't have fucking bailed then.
Yeah. God. Ugh.
Like, you left. How are you chiding somebody? And it's like, you lack decorum. Like, you didn't. She wouldn't be there if you didn't fucking leave. Like, or at least tell people, hey, sorry, something came up. Gotta go. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Let's get into Ice Cream You Scream. So I already touched partially on that within Hot Fudge, that I felt that the mom should have called the dad.
Yeah.
And I also talked about how Ko didn't have to bail the way that he did.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have one last thing, but it's kind of small. So I don't know.
Oh, same. I have a small one too. I wonder if it's the same thing.
We'll see. Okay. When they fall down the hill.
Okay. Yep. It's the same thing.
Yeah. There we go. At least twins. See, eye to eye. They fall down the hill. And then he says, like, well, he doesn't say it, but he was just like, oh, she's heavy.
Oh, my God.
I fucking hate. I hate.
Oh,
capital
my God.
H. I hate it. Like, she was literally crying and hitting you because you refused to open up to her. And she went out of her way to find you. Okay. Went to your house. Went to your hangout to find you, and you fall, and you're talking about she's heavy. Bitch, fuck you. Why don't you start like lifting weights? Okay. Do
right.
something, because I bet she's not even fucking heavy. You're just
no, she's
asshole.
Like maybe 110 pounds. Like, she's
at
not
best.
Heavy.
Like, yeah.
You're right. Like, what a stupid comment to ruin their personal moment.
For her to just be doing, to go out of her way for somebody, and it's just like, you're cheap, you're ugly, who would fall Ugh. For you? You're heavy. Oh, her legs are too thick. Her legs are thicker than my, I swear to God, I could not.
I cannot, yeah.
Oh, gosh, y'all, like, oh, that makes it, I was so mad. I was like, I'm surprised I didn't put it in Hot Fudge, but it is what it is.
Like, right. No, I was really mad too.
Yeah. But that's the last thing that I had for Ice Cream You Scream.
Yeah, that's all I had too.
Okay. So let's get into the finale, the last episode. Okay.
Yay.
Here's our
<You're> sorry.
It's okay. Same wavelength. Okay, here is our soft serve summary for episode 12, page 12. Futaba and Ko are hugging. She smells his neck and and tries to lean back, but Ko stops her because he's still crying. They do let go of each other, and Futaba is overwhelmed by the urge of wanting to see his face after he's crying, but also feeling special that he cried in front of her in the first place. She tries to summon the courage to confess to him, but her stomach growls, ruining the mood. And Ko says that they should go out to get something to eat. But Futaba stops him, since Tanaka-sensei is still at Ko's house, and she believes that he is cooking for Ko. So she tells Ko about that, and she also lets him know that Tanaka-sensei feels guilty for not being there for Ko when he needed him most. Ko says that he doesn't see it that way, and Futaba tells him that he should actually tell Tanaka-sensei that. So they end up walking home together, and before splitting off, Ko thanks her, and they stare at the stars before proceeding, like I said, to go home. So when Ko gets home, he decides that he's going to eat dinner with his brother and, surprisingly, his dad, lo and behold. Tanaka-sensei starts crying because he has wanted to eat dinner with his family for a really long time. Ko brings up the fact that he felt as if it wasn't right for him to be able to have moments like this with his family because his mom couldn't do that anymore, to which his dad said that his mother was never that petty. And then Ko brings up the fact that they have different last names and that he could possibly change it back to Tanaka, but he's sort of unsure. And his dad says that he can change it back when he has his feelings sorted out, because regardless of what their names are, they're still family. The next day, Futaba is nervous on how she's going to start interacting with Ko now. And Ko, who shows up to class, also seems out of sorts on how to interact with her as well. Ko Minato gives Ko a hard time for standing them up at the library the other day. So Ko says that he can meet with them today to show his sincerity. And they're all very excited by that. We then proceed to get a montage of the class rep gang studying all together at different times and places. And Ko ends up scoring higher than all of them. And none of them have to do summer classes, which they celebrate. While they are looking at test results, Futaba sees the guy that she fell on the other day and gets embarrassed while the guy walks away and says that she's a pervert. And she distracts everyone from this by talking about summer break. So when school ends, Makita and Futaba run to capture Ko before he can leave the school. And Morao gets called by Tanaka-sensei. He calls her by her first name and nickname. And he comments that it was the first time he's seen somebody call her that way. And she said that she finally found a place to fit in. But her feelings for Tanaka-sensei haven't changed. She wishes him a happy summer break and runs off. At that point, Ko Minato shows up and tells Tanaka-sensei that if he allows Morao to get ideas in her head and hurts her, then it won't end well for him. To which Tanaka-sensei retorts that is it okay if she doesn't get hurt before walking off and wishing Ko Minato a good summer break. Class rep gang meets up again at the school entrance and they decide to go somewhere to plan their summer vacation. And that is the end. So, Gianna, do you have a theme?
I attempted a theme. I said, it's never too late to make the changes you've been wanting to make on yourself and in your life.
I think I was a bit unserious, but in making my theme, but I said,
okay,
the power of friendship can change anything.
Oh, that's cute. That's cute. That's very anime for sure.
Right? do you have a sprinkle on top?
I do not. Do you?
I don't either.
Oops.
Sorry, y'all. Maybe next time.
Yeah.
But let's get into Floats Your Boat. So I just thought it was funny that she smelled his neck again. what is it about his neck? Like
specifically his neck. It's a lot.
Yeah, I'm just like, does he scrub it well? Does he rub cologne
there?
I don't know.
Like, hey, maybe that's her thing. Like, we don't know.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's her thing. You know, maybe if they get together eventually, that she's going to be leaving Hickey's all the time because that's her favorite spot. I don't know. Maybe.
Right. Maybe that's what we'll learn in the manga retrospective.
Right. Yeah.
I actually have quite a bit of floats your boat for this episode, for once.
I'll let you take the lead.
Okay, I actually, my first one was just me reacting to a few things that happened at the very beginning of the episode, just kind of as it went on. So, as Futaba starts to back out of their embrace, he pulls her back in. And, like, firstly, my brain went, ooh, damn, take initiative. But, like, also, it was just really sweet that he just wanted to be held and comforted by her. Like, my brain just went to a funny spot. But, you know, it was really sweet that he was like, no, let me be vulnerable with you in this moment. And he was, like, kind of shy about having been crying and stuff. So it was just a very sweet, genuine moment between them.
I really like that. I also wish that at that moment, like, when he said, like, he didn't want to let go, I wish that she sort of re-hugged him, because it looked like she just had her hands on his chest as if to push him away. And it's just like, no, wrap your arms around him again.
Like, yes. No, hug him back.
Yeah.
In that same scene, he does open right up to her and give her a real compliment, saying that her expression as she ran towards him was amazing. And she thought he was making fun of her, but he was like smiling at her and saying, no, he wasn't.
That's his own fault, too, to be honest.
Right. To be fair. Yeah, that's definitely his bad.
Yeah, because he loves to play mixed signals, but I'm glad that he was serious and that he told her that he was serious, because he could have, like, taken that away from her, and he didn't.
Yes, yes. There was also some more Futaba poetry in this scene that made my heart kind of flutter. She's looking at Ko's tear-stained eyes and thinks to herself, in the light of the moon, Ko's eyelashes are sparkling. And that was so poetic.
Yeah, it was so cute. And it's just like, damn, like, why couldn't you confess?
Oh my God, right? Couldn't there, like, there was so much potential for romance, y'all. Like, come on. But because, I mean, literally, like, she's thinking to herself, is this the kind of atmosphere where you should confess your feelings? And we have the emotional piano in the background, and she's blushing, and he's looking at her, and she's grappling with whether or not to speak up and fidgeting. Just all the shoujo tension was feeding my soul. It was just incredibly funny that her stomach growled, and that's the thing that ruined it. I would definitely be embarrassed if I were her, because it's like, you don't have any control over that, and your body made a weird noise.
Yeah, I just, because, like, it's just, her stomach just ruined the mood. It's like, she took so long. I was like, girl, just spit it out. Just spit it out. Like, I was like I'm yelling at my computer, say it loud, vampire. I'm gonna let go of that joke eventually, but still.
It's a good one, though. It's always applicable. After they part ways and they're walking home, they're both thinking about each other. And I love the animation choice, where they're both looking up at the night sky and the background changes entirely to just the stars above. And it cuts to look like they're standing back to back, gazing up at the stars, thinking of one another. Just, mwah, chef's kiss. Beautiful. I thought that this entire sequence was a great start to a final episode.
Yeah. It's just so nice.
Sorry.
I just got caught up in what you said.
Just, like, thinking about the stars. Yeah, me too. I was, like, picturing it. Although the next day, Futaba and Ko not knowing how to act in front of each other after their intimate conversation and embrace on the grass was really precious. I thought that shy Ko was so cute. A very cute version of Ko.
It just reminded me of flashback Ko of, like, back when they liked each other.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, look at that. And, like, she said that he was docile and cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, banana split, because, girl, docile? Let's not.
Right.
But yeah. Let's not rewrite let's history. Not. But cute.
Let's not go back to that. Yeah.
Yes, I will give you that.
Also, Ko taking the initiative to tell his friends that he was free to study that day, and then just beating their scores on the exam. Like, that was great. It was just nice to see that growth.
I just think, one, I was really happy that they decided to do that. Like, they were so excited that he said that he would study with them. And mm-hmm. I was just like, y'all are great people. Because,
they
like
really
I
are.
Said, no. Like, you have to grovel. That, sorry, no. Grovel.
Move mountains.
Move mountains, okay? I want food. I want consideration. I want an IOU card. I want things because me giving you my time and you running away and then you didn't even get back to me. Like, what if we thought something happened to you? No. So
right.
They're better than me because, but anyway, I thought it was cute that they got together and then they were all like so dedicated to studying. And honestly, I'm not surprised that he got a higher score because he was in advanced classes. Like,
that's what I thought too. Like, he just needed to get back into studying and then he would just excel.
Yeah.
Also, like when they were looking at the scores and Futaba makes eye contact with the orange-haired boy, she accidentally groped. Like, he just like freezes up and calls her a pervert and runs away. I thought that was very silly. Just a very funny moment.
It was so funny, but it was, like I said before, I know I was being too realistic, but I'm telling you, girl, like, nobody's just randomly gonna grab a dick. No one's just gonna do that. That's just not in somebody's MO. She doesn't even know who you are. And so it's just kind of like to go as far as calling her a pervert when it was clearly an accident. It's just like,
yeah,
come on, fam. You know that's not true. And then Ko was a little bit, I don't know if he was going to be jealous or he's just like noting like, what is, who is she looking at or whatever.
Right, like something happened here. I'm not sure what.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll investigate the way that Futaba was just like, what happened between you and Makita? Like,
right. I mean, Futaba, if she was to be like, nothing happened, you know, that'd be very funny. Because, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he'd be able to very quickly get it out of her, though.
Right. I think she would just tell the truth.
Yeah, she might. I just have one more float your boat. I just really liked hearing Futaba and Makita refer to Morao as Shuko and Shuchan. It's yeah. just very nice to see that they're on a first name basis now and that their friendship has grown and Morao's smiling more.
Yeah, I feel like I'm so glad that she said she found her place.
Yeah.
And it's nice that they just, with their persistence, they like made her be a part of like this team and they were like together and everything. And I love that she's able to just be neutral and not like Ko either. So it's just like, yeah. At least you have one friendship where it's like, okay, this is not going to infringe on boundaries or hurt my feelings in some way. Like, she's safe in that sense. But yeah.
Unless it got muddy between Futaba and Makita, and then like they would both be going to Morao to talk about the other, that would be really bad.
That would be really hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I'm glad that they were able to like develop that bond between them. And it was also very cute when they both caught Ko and were like giggling about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was sweet. But that's all I have for Floats Your Boat.
Okay. Do you have any banana split?
I actually do not.
I had a banana split.
Okay.
It is about Ko and his dad. Okay, guys. So this entire anime, I thought that Ko lived in his family home by himself and that his brother was just coming to visit.
Yeah.
And so to find out, I guess they all like live with each other, or at least Ko lives with his dad. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, I'm still confused about that.
So, because the way he was so sparse, I was just like, where is your father? If he's been here the whole time, like, where is evidence that he's been here? Like, I really thought right. He was living on his own, you know?
I was wondering if he was just, like, funding it. I don't know.
Right, yeah, that's what I thought for, like, ages. I just thought, oh, maybe his dad felt guilty, and so he just sends money every month, and that covers shit.
That's the impression I was getting. Yeah, I don't know.
That's what I got, too. I would never have thought, the way that they did the anime, I never would have thought that he lived with his dad.
Me neither.
But yeah, banana split, because I was just like, what the fuck? Like, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have any Rocky Road?
I do.
Okay.
So I actually found myself tearing up when Tanaka-sensei was finishing up cooking in the kitchen and thought his dad walked in, but it was actually Ko saying he had to join him and his father for dinner. I know how much it meant to Tanaka to share a meal with his brother. And then their dad was there too to finally eat like a family. And then Tanaka-sensei starts crying, and that made me cry more, like, the very second that they sit down to eat, because he had been waiting for this day for so long. I was so happy for him in that moment.
Yeah, I was happy for him that it finally happened, and, you know, he'd been trying so hard
mm-hmm.
for Ko to finally stop evading him. It was just nice to see him be able to be honest with his emotions. I wish the dad gave him a tissue. Like, I don't know.
Oh, right. Like something a little, you
like
know.
A pat on the back or something. Damn. Like,
right, right.
But yeah, it was so sweet to see that. And I would just like, Rocky Road for me was he admitted to Futaba that, not admitted, but I guess he thought to himself, I don't know if he admitted that he needed permission to keep going or whatever. Yeah. But for him to admit that to his family, that felt like a big change. Just because it's like, okay, yes, you had this conversation with Futaba, but like now, not only are you not avoiding your family, now you're even talking about your feelings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I was just like, oh, that's a big change. But I was proud of him. And then also just sad because like I understood him feeling like, oh, is it even okay for me to do these things? Because mom can't do them.
Yeah, I had that in Rocky Road, too. It was just heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking for him to say that. And like, you could tell that on an emotional level, like that hit Tanaka sensei, like, oh, damn. Like,
yeah.
And then the dad, I'll give him this because like, normally it's just sort of like shitting on him because it's just like, what the fuck were you doing? What were you doing that I didn't know that you lived with your child until the finale? But
yeah.
Even so, him saying that, like, even if our last names differ, it doesn't change the fact that we're family. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, that was very sweet.
And to be honest, like, maybe it's just me, but like, I would kind of understand if he just doesn't change it back, to be honest, for his mom. Because his mom got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And so his mom went back to her maiden name. And so it's like, I would get that from a standpoint of, well, that I want to still be connected to her. And this was her maiden name was the last name she had.
Yeah.
But I mean, if he wants to change it, it's fine. It's just, I mean, unless he like started work, I would, if anything, I would just kind of keep it until the end of high school and then change it if he really wanted to change it. Because everybody's
right, like that would give him some time to think about it and process everything.
Yeah, and everybody got used to calling him Magucci. So then it's just like, oh, now you're Tanaka again? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, so that's all I had for Rocky Road. Do you have any hot fudge?
I do. I actually only have one hot fudge and no ice cream, you scream, because I was mad.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, so this episode took such a weird turn.
It did.
When Tanaka sensei stops Morale on the stairs and she reiterates her feelings for him. She's like, don't think you've shaken off one annoyance. And he says, I don't see you as an annoyance. And I'm watching this and I'm writing this as I'm reacting. I'm like, what does that mean? Is he going to date a student? And then Kominato comes by. He's like, if you put ideas into Morale's head and then hurt her, you'll pay for it. Which, threats aside, why are you condoning this at all under any circumstances?
Right.
And then Tanaka-sensei says, so you don't mind if it ends in a way that doesn't hurt her. And I'm so upset. Tanaka-sensei was perfect up until this point. Oh my god. Like, it's all so bad. It's all so bad. I hate it so much.
He's just ruined.
Completely.
Just fucking ruined. You know what? I don't even know how I didn't put that in hot fudge, because I agree with you. I just feel that, first of all, for him to establish boundaries, right, in that earlier episode to be like, you're a student. This is never going to happen. Don't put me in, like, an uncomfortable position. To then call her by her first name and nickname when you know that she likes you or used to like you. I didn't like that at all because it's just like, in even doing that, it gives somebody hope. And I just don't like the fact that he entertained it or allowed her to even entertain that and stuff. And to the point that she had to reiterate her feelings for him.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, fuck. And then Kominato coming by, I can't believe that he said like, oh, well, you're okay with it if she doesn't get hurt. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you implying, Predator? Like, you were just so great. You literally said no. And so I just, and the thing about it for me is that you dating a student, right, an adolescent, like, what's to say you won't, like, him and Morale, let's say they get together. What's to say that he won't just screw another student? If he can screw her, like, oh, where's the boundaries? Where's the morals? Where's the rules? Like, what the fuck? Like, why would he even entertain that? You know, because Kominato was coming from a very good place and a very realistic place, because it's just like you even call him even calling her by her nickname. It's just like, that's too much.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. I'm so disappointed because I, you know, first episode we recorded a Blue Spring Ride. I'm like, I have a crush on Tanaka Sensei. He likes cats. He seems like cute and quirky.
Now he likes children. Like, fuck that.
Right. No. Jesus Christ. Gross. Yeah. But that's it for me.
I have one ice cream you scream.
Okay.
Although maybe it could be hot fudge. So this anime ended with no, like, straight up confession. Well, I mean, there was confessions, but that were rejected, but no straight up confessions or whatever. They had to use a montage of Ko's mixed signals at the end to remind people that it was supposed to be a romance and not just a, like, everybody kumbaya, we're all friends, come together, like, type bullshit thing.
Right.
And for me, I don't like that this anime is implying that you need to fix a man in order to get with him.
Right. Oh my gosh, because that's not realistic and also not okay.
Right. I feel like they needed, like, and we said this before, Ko, Tanaka Sensei, the whole family needed a grief counselor. And so to just put that responsibility, because Tanaka Sensei sort of did that as well, on Futaba, keep going, keep trying, right? Keep talking to him. He's a good kid or whatever. And he wasn't even nice the whole fucking time. He was mean in a way that has nothing to do with his mom dying and him watching his mom die. He was so mean to this girl. And so the perception for me of, like, you just have to keep going. You have to be persistent and then you'll get the man that you want. You can change him. You can't fucking change anybody. Guys, newsflash. If you think that you need to change somebody in order to be with them, you don't need to be with them at all.
Yeah.
You should just be with whoever it is, and they don't have things about them that you want them to change. Because you can't expect that. Like,
no, it's like, are you actually in love with that person? Or is it the idea of being with a different version of that person? Like, if you're not in love with them for who they are, then you're not really in love with that person.
Right. And I feel like this could also apply to not just Futaba, but also Makita. He literally walked you across a fucking river with a flat rocks. My God. And then at the end of this anime, she's saying, oh, I'm going to try harder in the summer. You don't even have, like, what do you like about this person outside of that event? What about him is attractive to you? Is it him leaving you guys, like, bailing on you guys, right? Is it him running away? Is it him, the fact that, first of all, why is it not a red flag for Makita that this person that you like is saying all this negative shit about your friend?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Like, you're watching him say, oh, she's not even a girl and stuff in front of her and just, like, generally treating her like shit.
She literally watched him wipe lip gloss off of her face. How can anybody that would do that and to do that and say, oh, it doesn't suit you?
Yeah. Like, if I was Makita, I would be telling Futaba to run. Like, I wouldn't be crushing on him. I would be like, get away from him. Like, he's already hurting you and he's only going to keep hurting you.
It's mixed signals. It's the fact that he won't even allow her. He doesn't want to be with her. He's saying shitty things about her, but he doesn't want her to be with anyone else. And that's so selfish and toxic.
And toxic. Oh, God.
There's nothing romantic about it. And it's like for her to just be like, oh, like, I like the way that you smell or whatever. But it's like, what, Futaba, what do you like about Ko now? Don't go off of this flashback, right? He even said it himself. Like, don't go off of who I used to be. I'm not that person anymore. He is not that person anymore. Because before, he wasn't saying that, oh, your legs are fatter than his. He wasn't calling you cheap. He wasn't rubbing makeup off of your face. He wasn't scoffing at you trying new shampoo. Okay, he wasn't making fun of the friends that you have. He wasn't talking down to you. He wasn't doing any of that stuff. So how you can like the person currently and they're doing all of these things to you, saying these things to you, I don't get it. And it, you know what? It also reminds me a little bit of Kageki Shoujo when Ayako got that eating disorder, right? It was because of the fact that she felt pressured to do it because of what the teacher said and what people said around her, right? And in the scope of Blue Spring Ride, Futaba is still a person that is highly impacted by the people around her and by what people say about her. And so for me, I'm just like, he keeps commenting on her weight. Like, what if she decides to have an eating disorder? Because she thinks, oh, he likes smaller girls. And right, she's not even right. fucking big.
No, gosh. And he just keeps making comments regardless.
Comments on her weight and how she's incompetent. I just feel like it's a really big disservice. I hope that girls that watch this anime don't think that they should change themselves to be with a guy. I hope that they don't believe that a guy saying hurtful things to you is okay, because it's not. You can be there for somebody, but you don't need to be their therapist.
Yeah.
And it's not your responsibility, and no one should make you feel as if it's your responsibility to bring that person back to who they used to be. I don't like how this sort of played out. And then at the end of it, we never get to see the good side of Ko.
No, we don't. It just ends. It's another anime that just ends. And it's so frustrating.
Right. And it's like no second season in sight. It's 2022. This thing came out in 2014. That's 8 years.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a second season. Mm-mm. And so, not that I'm against manga retrospectives, but it's like, I wish that when people were making anime, maybe instead of People have been doing a lot of like 13 episode stuff, right? But I remember like up until like mid 2000s, let's say up to 2010, because after 2010 it sort of stopped, right? They were still doing like 26 episodes. They could have wrapped this whole thing up in 26 episodes.
Yeah, it's like, but at the same time,
that would be hard on us, but still.
I don't know if I could take 26 episodes of this anime.
Of Ko.
Yeah, of Ko in particular. There are some other interesting characters that I would like to see explored, but I don't think I could handle 26 episodes of Ko's mixed signals and insults and toxicity. I just couldn't do it.
But I would hope that there's like, he turns a new leaf and he's saying all this nice shit or whatever. And so for me, it's like, I would have liked if we got an episode of him just being purely nice to her and no more mixed signal bullshit. I would have liked to see that.
It seems like that is what they're implying happens with him turning this new leaf and wanting to study and talking to his family about his feelings and genuinely complimenting Futaba. They're implying that it's going to get better and perhaps they'll end up together. But I don't like that it's up for interpretation. I would rather just have it happen on the screen for us.
Or at least if you aren't going to do a second season, like, just end it off with, I like you or some shit like that.
Yeah, at least at a point where they can grow from. It doesn't have to be perfect. Maybe they just say, I like you. We have a lot to figure out. And they walk into the sunset holding hands. That's enough for me.
Right, because the anime, the basis of it is supposed to be romance. And it's not right. like it's bad to find friends along the way, but I don't personally think it should have really ended with like, oh, kumbaya, we're all friends, let's plan our summer vacation. No, it should have ended off with Futaba and Ko at that shrine again, either confessing to each other or about to confess to each other. I would
right. Oh my God. I'm getting lost in it now. Imagine, okay, so back in middle school, they met at the shrine in the rain.
Yeah.
And that was that, like, watering their romance. And then now in high school, they met at the shrine and the leaves had fallen, right? And so it was like their romance had died and was dying.
Yeah.
But what if they met at the shrine with the spring flowers in bloom and blooming spring flowers and they confess their feelings? It would be finally the culmination of the rain that fell when they were in middle school.
Right, like their love springs again.
Yeah. And then, of course, like, I know that she kind of explained the title in a really roundabout poetic way during the outro, but that would even more make it come full circle, Blue Spring Ride, for it to end in a spring that is beginning between the two of them.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Right, because it could be blue because it's like, oh, it took, you know, learning about his mom for them to get to that spring. But still.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed.
Look at us rewriting the ending.
Right, I know. Again, we keep rewriting the endings. I hope soon we don't have to do that.
Hopefully. But yeah, I guess that's it, right? Oh my god.
I think so, yeah.
Another show in the books, guys.
Woo!
Well, that is the finale for Blue Spring Ride. And this has been episode 25 of Shoujo Sunday. Please make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast platform. We are literally everywhere. Rate us 5 stars on Spotify, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts and you loved our review of Blue Spring Ride, you could also leave a literal review. Like, we say 5-star review, but it's like you can leave like 5 stars on Spotify, but Apple, it lets you write things. So if you have any gushing words, if you're feeling poetic about Shoujo Sunday and what we bring to the table every Sunday, then please go and leave us that review in Apple Podcasts specifically, because a lot of people look over there. But like I said, anywhere you listen to us, leave us 5 stars. Also, make sure to follow us on social media. It would help out so much, you guys, if you interacted with our social media content. And I'm not just saying that as part of the social half of Shoujo Sunday. I'm saying that genuinely, like both Gianna and I would be so happy to interact with our community more, our listeners more.
Yes.
So just, you know, you can like our posts, but, you know, leave a comment, or I guess if you have like a reaction to something that we said, like comment it. Like, we would love to see that and we'd love to hear from you. With that being said, I am Chica Supreme. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Chica Supreme. And that is Chica with a K and not 2 C's. Gianna.
I am Gianna Luna. You can find me at Gianna_Luna_ across socials. And that's Gianna with 1 N.
Okay. So we will see you guys next week with a new film.
Yes.
Make sure to comment. I know I say this, but make sure to comment, like, on our post of this episode, what movie do you think we're going to be reviewing? I feel like you kind of already know, but
you probably know.
You know, but still, leave that comment. We'd love to see it. Anyway, see you guys then.
Yeah, we'll see you then. Bye.